Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Amen. I want to share with you about, you know, some of the things that we go through in life. And when I was at my brother-in-law's house, I was sitting down and we were watching 60 Minutes. Now, I don't watch 60 Minutes or any. I'm not against it. I think there's some good things. But I sat down and he was playing it, and it was about Syria, about the gas that had shot into Syria. And I even said the name of the gas before they even mentioned it, and sure enough it was. And so I was watching this, and I was watching all these children. It broke my heart. They were picking children up all over the place and just throwing in the back of a paddy wagon, piling them and stacking them up. And they were all over convulsing, and it was showing pictures of all this, of the people that were dying in the hospitals. And I kept thinking about that, and I laid in bed that night, and I said, Lord, we have it so good. We have it so good. And I just pray for these people in Syria and these countries that don't have it so good. And it was so overwhelming that I thought to myself, Lord, you are so good to your people. And the tragedies that are happening around the world, the sadness and the sorrow and the grief can be very overwhelming, even in our lives. I want to share with you, God's blessings come in the midst of sorrow. You know, sometimes even in life, even us as Christians, it seems like sometimes things fall apart. They just don't work out. They're not moving the way you think they should move. Or you're dealing with a loss or health crisis or something you didn't even see coming that just hits you. The enemy is a liar. He's a thief. And when I watched that thing in Syria that was happening to these children, it broke my heart to the place that I'm thinking, I hate you, devil, more than ever. And you know how Jesus retaliated against the devil? He did more miracles. He did. When John the Baptist was beheaded in prison, you know what Jesus did? He went to a place with the disciples and got away. But it said that the people came, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. You know how to get back at the devil? Pray. Read your word. Pray for somebody else. Get back at the devil by doing the works that God called us to do. That's how you get back at the devil. And that's what Jesus did. We deal with death and disappointment, discouragement, and all sorts of things that try to come against our lives. We deal with all that. Here's the good news. God wants to bless you and show himself strong on your behalf, even in the midst of your grief, your sorrow, your pain, and your disappointments. God wants to show him strong on behalf of those people in Syria that are lost without a shepherd. And I know there's people in that crowd that lost loved ones. They were Christians there. I'll guarantee you there was. And the pain and the sorrow and the grief that they had to go through, we pray for them that God will, in their midst of their sorrow, would be there to comfort them and strengthen them through this loss and this tragedy. And not as Christians to put our heads in the sand and say, well, you know, it doesn't affect me. It does affect us because they're a part of the kingdom of God. And it does affect me. It should make me inside cry, and it should make me cry when I see that. Why? Because I don't like the devil. Amen. And God is a good God. Ecclesiastes 3:1, let's look at this, people. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. We go through every season of life. We've gone through every season of life. There's times that we have been sad. We've been weeping, wondering if we're ever going to get through what we're dealing with. And there's a time that we laughed. It was over. We had that time to laugh. There was a time that we mourned for other people. We mourned in prayer. We mourned in intercession. But there was a time to dance. And there's always a time for all these, but you know what? I'll take the dancing. A time to dance and to praise God. But there's seasons. Listen, in other words, life is a series of pros and cons, positive things and opposite things. That's not going to change till we get to heaven. None of that will change. The Bible says that sometimes weeping is appropriate. Sometimes mourning is appropriate. Sometimes grieving is appropriate. In fact, God wants to bless you even in the midst of all these things. He wants to still bless you, and He can bless you. Processing grief is absolutely essential, and it is the healthiest choice when you and I experience a loss or a setback. I don't understand it, but God is there with us. It is essential to your emotional health, your spiritual health, your physical health, and your mental health. In fact, write this down. God is with you in the midst of grief and sorrow to get you through the transitions of life. There are transitions of life, people. There's things that are happening in our life that we don't understand. But we can either stay in that transition, in that spot, or we can move on to a better, something better. Write this next one down. There is no growth in your life without change. Amen. There's no growth in your life without change. There is no change without loss. Remember when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me? If you lose your life, you will gain it. There's times that we just got to lose everything. I'm not saying lose everything because it's something great, but lose our lives to God in order to make changes in our life. And sometimes it says there is no loss without pain. And there is no pain without sorrow or grief. These are transitions that we go through in life, people. It is what it is. I don't like it. But I'm stuck with it. So are you. But it's what we do in the midst of these things, that transitions that we go through. When we're willing to humble ourselves in the midst of our pain, we allow God to bless and comfort us and minister to our deepest needs when we do that. Here's some ways God does this. Number one, there's just some ways. God draws you closer to Himself when you hurt. I love this scripture. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Do you think God doesn't care about those people in Syria or Israel or around the world? He loves them deeply. Do you know that He even loves Al-Qaeda, Hamas, all the different people that are killing? He died for them. And there's people. I just seen an article and read an article the other day. There is people getting saved that were killing people that were involved in this. God is revealing Himself to the Muslim. He's appearing to them. Things are happening. You don't see that on the news. But God is moving. He is moving. He draws those brokenhearted people to Himself. God is close to the brokenhearted. He's paying attention. He's not distant, people. He's right there with you, and He'll never leave you or forsake His people. Jesus is only a breath away. When Benny Mall's dad said, Jesus, Jesus. That's all he could pray. He was so emotional and distraught. It brought a miracle. It brought a miracle. If that's the only word you could ever say, you will never miss. Number two, God relates to what you're going through. Sometimes we feel like God just doesn't understand. Did you ever tell God that? I did. What? I remember telling God that. I'm telling the creator of the world, Lord, you just, maybe you don't understand. I think God got a big chuckle. I really think God was laughing so hard the angels were laughing. God relates to what you're going through. Hebrews 4:15. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he didn't sin. God understands. Listen, the reason you have the ability to grieve is because you're made in God's image. The only reason you have any emotion at all, because we serve in an emotional God. Do you think God's going to create an emotional being if that weren't, and we're created in his image if he's not emotional? I believe God cries. I really do. I believe that sometimes his heart's broken. But it doesn't move him to the place that, like us, but I believe that God can be grieved. The Bible says that God grieves. The Bible tells us that God weeps. When Jesus looked over Jerusalem, he wept. He wept over Jerusalem. And he was in this world, but I believe even our Heavenly Father. In other words, God is sympathetic God. He's not indifferent. He's not uninterested. He's not standing on the sidelines. He understands what you and I are going through. He understands those things. But God can't do anything until you do something. He's only a breath away. He can't force himself on people. He can grieve with you. He can relate to you. He can understand. He can sympathize with your weaknesses, your struggles. But he cannot do anything until you go towards him. Everywhere you see in the Word, it says seek God. Come after God. Follow after God. And you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. You have to do the seeking, and God will come and show up every time. He will not chase you down. He will not run you down. He will not change it for you. He's waiting for you to come after him and put your trust in him and let him do the changing. It's called faith. Psalm 78:40, let's look at this. It says, how many times they rebelled in their desert days, how they grieved him with their grumblings. When Israel was in the desert, they grieved the Lord. It says he was grieved. And then there's some other translations, some other things that I read in Scripture. I didn't write it down. It said that God was sorrowed. Wow. He has feelings. He understands. God understands. Number three, God gives you a church family for support. I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone, and they were telling me about when they went to some of the churches and they were at the worst of their life, and it said that they just ridiculed and kicked them down because of where they were in their life. Sometimes Christianity can be, let me rephrase that, true Christianity is good, but sometimes people can be very mean. Be very mean. Our job's to love and let God take care of the rest. I'm not saying we don't stand for what we believe in. I'm not saying we don't live for what we believe in. But I'm saying when Jesus came to the woman caught in adultery, he looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn you. But he did say this, don't sin anymore. Don't sin anymore. But I'm not going to condemn you. God never meant for you to go through life on your own. Never. He never meant for us to. When you carry it all by yourself, you're carrying a load that God never intended for you to carry. Never. God says we're meant to grieve in community together, as people together. When one hurts, the other should be feeling that and saying, how can I pray for you? Not to look at your life and say, you know, if you get your act together, maybe you wouldn't blah, 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 blah. When I was out in Portland, there were all types of walk of people in my class. Just loved on them. They knew how I was. They knew I was a pastor. Just loved on them. Had fun. But I prayed, oh God, that people would know you who for you really are. That the devil's a liar, and that you're a good God, and that you care about even the simple little things. Listen, God says we're meant to grieve in community. Healing comes in groups. Healing comes in the church. Healing comes in community. We're better together. You weren't meant to carry it on your own. Never. Romans 12. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many. You know what? We all have the same personalities, don't we? No. We don't. We are many in the body of Christ. Different talents, different gifts, different personalities. But we still belong to each other. We still belong to each other. We've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. What are we contributing to each other? Now, don't get mad at me. When you're not here, you rip people off. We need each other. We need your gifts. We need your talents. We need your love. We need your compassion. We need your grace. We need you. And it says, with each contributing to the others. God doesn't want us to be takers. He wants us to be givers. Learn to give and give. And when you learn to give to others and serve others, this is what my class was all about. When I was reading their core values, I said it must have came straight from the Bible, because every one of those core values is what we believe. They might have not known that. And I was going to go up to Josh when he was teaching and said, Josh, I can put a scripture with every one of those. Every one of those. A scripture of how to treat people. Verse 10, being devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor for each other. Isn't that awesome? Verse 15, celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve. Weep with those who grieve. You don't have to know everything that's going on. All you have to do is be there. You don't have to say anything. All you have to do is be there. You're either going through pain yourself and you need comfort, or you're not going through pain and you need to comfort others. You either need comfort or you need to be the comforter. Number four, God grows us up through pain. This one here, every time I look at this, I'm going, all right, Lord. See, God uses grief and pain to help us grow. You know, God never wastes pain. Yeah. He uses the pain we've gone through to help others and to grow. God uses frustrating circumstances to prune you for being fruitful and bearing fruit. I mean, I tell you what. When I first went to Bible college, I was so rough around the edges. My first year out of high school, I just got saved. I didn't even know how to pray. The only thing I knew was the rosary, or, you know. I didn't know how to pray. And I remember I was praying one time, and the guy goes, whoa, stop. I'm going to teach you how to pray. So funny. But out of my heart, I was praying what I knew how. And so when I first went there, it was like the onion being peeled back, the pain and the thing that I had to go through, because, you know, I thought I'd go to Bible college and everything would just be hunky-dory. I'll never go through anything. See, I've arrived, and God's there. Oh, yeah, God was there, pruning and digging and pulling and taking out all that garbage that was in my life. Things that I thought I had a handle on, God said, no. Clip. No. Clip. And started pruning and laying back the layers. And there'd be times that it was so rough on me that I never thought I was going to get through the pain and the sorrow. Because you know what God did? He surfaced those things. I had to deal with them. I had to deal with the pain towards my father. I had to deal with the pain towards my stepmother. I had to deal with the pain against my real mother. All the ways that I grew up in an alcoholic home, I had to do the pain of all that. I hated my father. I hated everything he stood for. I had to deal with all that stuff. You see, I thought I could go to school. You know, I'm a new creature now. I'm a new creation, so I don't have to worry about a thing. God says, it's time, boy. We're going to the woodshed, and I'm going to pound your hiney. I tell you, there was times I would go to the resident dean and say, the pain and the sorrow of what God is doing in my life is so hard. I need your help. And they would pray for me. We all go through it, and we get through it. We might get through it, God dragging us, kicking and screaming all the way down the hallway. But we get through it. I remember when I was in Kentucky and I was pastoring this church, and I remember this boy when he was real young, and he never, every service, he would be sitting there and he'd just flip out. And mama be dragging him all the way down. I'll be good, all the way out the door, screaming. That kid is a missionary today. He's a missionary to Mexico. Bless his heart. Oh, that's so funny. The things that we deal with. Hebrews 5:8. But even though he was a wonderful son, he learned to listen and obey through all his sufferings. He learned to listen and obey. You know, we get ourselves in trouble when we don't obey. We don't learn if we're not listening. Sometimes you've got to go through hard knocks in order sometimes to learn some things. See, I was one of these that needed, you know, the Lord to slap me on the back of the head like Donoso, you know? All the time when he walked by, are you listening? Are you learning anything? Just some of us are more hard-headed and stubborn, and it takes a little more to get us through it, right? Sometimes pain can be used to get our attention. Not that God is dumping it on you. Life itself is painful. God knows how to turn the tide of the bad into our lives and bring good into our lives. He knows how to do it. Look at the next scripture, Romans 8:28. We know that all things God works for the good of those who love him. You notice it said it works for those who love him? Sometimes good doesn't always work for everybody. But it's what you do in the process that works. See, to be an overcomer, look for something good to come out of everything that appears bad. Golly, I've been around some, when I was out of town, it was just listening to some people, you know, the negativity. I wasn't talking about my family. I wasn't talking about you guys. It was, but you know, just in general, being around people and the negativity of life. I mean, it was like one end after another. It was just like tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And it's like, wow, what am I listening to? But, you know, learning to thank God for the good that is coming instead of being unhappy over the loss that has been strong over your life. But looking for the good things. There's times that you just got to say, people, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I know that you're in control of this because I give you control. I don't understand it, Lord. I don't understand why. But I do understand this, that you're with me and you're in the midst of this whole thing. That's the only thing we can do. There's times I told the Lord, I said, Lord, how can good come through this? But you know what I found out? That maybe the situation never turned out for what I thought it should, but I did. You know why? Because God was with me. See, I changed. The circumstance might not have changed, but I changed. God did something in me to make me stronger than ever before in that situation. The Passion says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good in our lives. God never meant to bring any harm or bad in your life. The devil is a bad devil. We serve a good God. I hear people say, well, God must be punishing me. Don't ever go down that road. He is not that God. You don't need God to punish you. You got a devil that'll do the job for you. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Everything. He destroyed everything the devil stood for. He destroyed the works. He destroyed everything he represented. That's what God came to do. And to give life and life more abundantly. Not to come to steal and kill and destroy and and rain on your parade. That's not the God we serve. And I hear people out in the world, out there, I run across people and say, well, God must be punishing me. No, he's not. Don't ever do that to God. That's not fair to him. When he sent his son to take care of all that garbage. Sometimes I want to say, well, maybe you need to change some things and quit blaming God. Come on. Because God is only a whisper away. Right there. He's right there for us. Thanking God for who he is and for what he's doing will make our hearts open to receive God's power. He can do anything with a thankful heart. Not a complaining heart, but a thankful heart. He can do anything with a thankful heart. There's times that I've said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I thank you that you're God. I didn't know what else to say. I don't know what to do, what to say, but I thank you that you're still on the throne. You see all things, you know all things, and you care about everything. That's what we focus on. Our focus has to be on eternity and eternal things when we deal with hurts and pains. Gloria, remember this? in the light of eternity, does it really matter? I told somebody that when I was in Portland. No, I was sitting on the plane. And I was talking to a girl that she had 7 kids. She wasn't Amish, but she was from, why did I say that? Let me clarify that, streamers out there. But she was in a group that was very, yeah, they were very, very holiness, okay? And so I began to share with her, and, you know, I could tell that she, you know, I'm just one of these other Christian people. I don't understand what holiness is and stuff. I really felt that and picked that up. But, you know, the more we talked, and I remember mentioning that to her and sharing with her. And then when I went from Minneapolis to Grand Rapids, I sat with another lady on the plane. And that's when I spoke to her and started to speak some things to her. And I said, in the light of eternity, you have to look at it this way. Does it really matter? Because eternity is in our focus, people. It's in our focus. That's what we focus on, is eternity. Looking at eternity. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4. It says, we view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. When you can focus on eternity and compare it to what you're going through, it makes it a little bit easier. How many have ever said, I can't wait, it's all going to be over one day. The devil's going to get his. And I get to watch. I get to be there when he stands before Jesus and he has to bow and call him Lord. Oh, can you imagine the enemy, what that's going to be like? And the Bible says, in I think it's in Isaiah or one of the scriptures, it says, and is this the one who did all this stuff to the nations and the people? And we're going to look at him, this guy? I was afraid of this guy? This pipsqueak right here? His roar is bigger than who he is? I want to get up by Jesus, and I want to go, can I just stand here while he comes and kneels down and calls you Lord? Wouldn't that be fun? And while he's saying it, you go down and go, you got what was coming to you, you rot. I don't think it's going to happen that way. But I know you would like that, wouldn't you? How many would like that? Let me see your hands. How many say, I don't really care? But here's what it says, people. In the light of eternity, we see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison. You can't compare your circumstances to the glory of God. It outweighs them all. Amen. God's presence, his anointing, his fire, his glory outweighs all these things. And it says in 18, we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. The Bible, the scriptures, the prayer, heaven's resources, everything God is, that's my focus. For what is seen is temporary. The word means subject to change. It's going to change eventually. And if it doesn't, I don't care. But the unseen realm is eternal. It's never going to change. God is never going to change. He's never going to stop loving you. He's never going to quit on you. He's never going to leave you. He's still your healer. He's still your financier. He's still everything you want him to be. God is. God is. That's what he's going to be to you. 5. We're closing in a minute. God gives you the hope of heaven. Everybody say heaven. Oh, I like the way Amber said, heaven, I can't wait. Not now, Amber. I want you around. Hang on. Keith goes, me too. Heaven. The hope of heaven. Knowing that one day this is all going to be gone. Amen. God makes a new heaven and a new earth. We will rule and reign with Christ. Some of you will be ruling over nations. Do you know that? Oh, not me. Oh, yeah. You'll be even ruling over angels. Scriptural. Watch God bring me back to Ovid Elsie. God, there is no Ovid Elsie. It's gone. I made another one just for you. But we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. This life is not all there is, people. We're living for so much more. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, a little as others do, who have no hope. We have a hope. I know where I'm going when I die. So do you. There's people that don't know. They're scared of death. Really are. Because you know why? Their hearts are not right. When your heart's not right, the Bible says this, that there's an assurance in our hearts knowing. Our heart, it says if your hearts in 1 John don't condemn you. See, our hearts don't condemn us when we're right with God because we know the hope of heaven. We know that when we have our last breath, eternity's only a breath away. I've been at the side of people when they have died. I've been at the side of people when they just gave their life to the Lord and died. Some a little bit later. They made Jesus Lord their life till that very moment. But he was only a breath away. Would you like Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I would. Walked out of the room and the next day found out he passed away that night. You know, when they get to heaven, you think they're not going to be excited? I guarantee you they were dancing on the streets with the angels. Knowing by the skin of their teeth, they just about didn't get into heaven because they weren't right with God. Wow. That is enough to scare you to get right with God. Amen? But we don't have to grieve people because we have hope. See, the world has sorrow. They sorrow because they don't have hope. No, I'm not saying people, we don't grieve and go through sorrow, but we know that there is a heaven. That one day we will see our loved ones that have passed on. That one day we will see that person that has gone. That's the hope of knowing that one day we will see them. That one day that we ourselves will go home to be with the Lord. Number 6, God uses your pain to help others. We shared a little bit more about this, but God never wastes a hurt, but we often do because we're not willing to use it to help other people. See, he wants you to redirect your focus. I have found that I get my focus off myself and start focusing others that are hurting, my hurt goes away. Isn't that amazing? I'll never forget the time, and I've shared this a long time ago. I was so discouraged, so depressed. And I was in a car that night. It was 10:30 at night, and I was so depressed and discouraged. I get a call from a friend of mine in high school. I was back at my hometown. And he calls me, and I'm just so out of it. He calls me, and he said, Adi, I really need to talk. I'm just going through some things. And I thought, put the phone down, and I thought, you want to talk to me? Right now, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm so hurting and depressed and discouraged. And then I said, all right, I'll meet with you. And I'm thinking to myself, my golly, Lord, I need it, not him. Well, anyway, Tim and I got together. We got in the car, and I just started ministering to him out of my... I just acted like I was okay. I started ministering to him and talking to him and praying for him. And all of a sudden, all that pain and discouragement left me. And the joy of the Lord came into my life. And pretty soon he was laughing and I was laughing. And I got right out of that. Why? Because when I focused on somebody else's pain and I began to minister to them and to serve them, my pain left me. My pain was gone. My discouragement went out, and I started ministering to this person. And I'll never forget that. We were both crying, and we were both laughing, and we were both having a good time. And I said, now let's go eat. Okay. So we went out, and we ate. So, but anyway, that's the redirecting our focus, people. Last scripture I want to give you, 2 Corinthians 1:4. He comforts us all in all. All of our troubles. So that we can comfort myself? No. God was comforting me that night and said, I want you to comfort somebody else. And I'm thinking, no, I need it. What about me? I'm going to be selfish, Lord. God says, no, no, you're going to minister to him. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. That's what it's about. This is what this is all about, going through sorrow and hurts and pain and everything, that God is with us. He's there all the way. The greatest ministry of our lives, people, comes out of the deepest hurt. I'm a better person today than I was 20 years ago. Did I like it? No. Did you? No. But God has got us in a place and position in our lives to minister where we could have never ministered before. Out of the sorrow, the pain, and the grief that we felt. We think the world is impressed by how we handle prosperity. Uh-uh. The world is actually impressed in how we handle adversity. People are watching our lives. When we don't know how to pull it together and let the Lord minister to us so we can minister to others, they look at you and go, well, I don't want that. They're more miserable than I am, and I don't even know God. You see what I'm saying? So we need to get through these things and allow the Lord to use us in a mighty way beyond us. We think that it's our success that only gives us credibility to be a witness. Listen to this. But God says it's our suffering that gives us credibility, how we respond to it and to God. That's where credibility comes from. Is allowing our Lord and Savior to take us through the transitions of life, no matter how we don't like them. I'm never going to sit here and tell you, I just love going through pain. Well, I can be super spiritual and go, you know what, bless God. I just like getting beat on and going through pain because it makes me a stronger person. No, I don't believe that. I believe that we go through these things. I don't like it, but you know what? God always gets me through it. He gets me to the other side, and I'm a lot stronger for it. Nobody likes it. Do you think Jesus liked it when he was going through what he went through? No, he said, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't that Jesus didn't want to do it for us, but can you imagine the pain and suffering he felt? That was in the garden. That was before he even went through the scourging, the beatings, and all this. That was in the Garden of Gethsemane of what he knew he was going to go through. Oh, Lord. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Lord, I don't understand it. I don't like it. But your God, you know what I'm feeling. You know what I'm going through. And I just put my trust in you because your will be done, not mine. Wow. That's how we have to look at it. That's the only way, people, that we will get through what we deal with in life. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy. It's not easy. I would never say that. But I do know this, that my God is so awesome. He's so good. And he will bring you through it. Right, Gina? God brought you through it. He brought your mama through it. Because we prayed, we believed, we came together as a family, and God did a miracle. See, God wants to do miracles in our lives, but it takes you and me to come together and to just forgive each other. Let it go. Yeah, there's problems in families. Anybody ever have a problem in your own family? Did you guys ever always like each other? Are you kidding me? Grow up with 8 girls and me and my brother. I got beat more than anybody, but I loved it and laughed. My sisters beat me up all the time with that broom. They'd come in there, and I knew, that, oh, here it comes. And the more they beat on me, the more I laughed, and the more angry they got. I was with my older sister. It was great. She didn't beat me, though. She probably wanted to, no. I'll bring you probably listening to this high. But anyway, when I think about this, that God got your back. But when we come in community and we start loving each other and we start letting the love of God flow, I'm not saying, people, that we allow things. We need to, no. There's correction. There's sometimes you need correction. I need correction. We need correction. We need edification. We need encouragement. But that's what God does. But what I'm saying, when we come together as one person and we begin to focus on God and we begin to focus outside this church, you watch what God's going to do. The miracles and the signs and wonders will be way beyond. And it's not just about the miracles, but the focus is going to be on him. The focus is going to be on him. I got up this morning, people, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I was so discouraged and felt that spirit try to come on me. And I went down in the basement, and I just prayed, and I just worshiped the Lord, and I just began to thank him for who he was. And I just said, Lord, you know what? You're God. I thank you that no matter what, you love me. You care about us even when we're naughty. Right, hon? Right, hon? Kenny goes, you're naughty. Mm-hmm. How many have ever been naughty? All of us. But even in the midst of that, with our attitudes, God is still there. Isn't that neat? He doesn't forsake us. He just loves on us. It's the love and the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the love and kindness of God. Know that you are never alone. God is with you, holding you, comforting you, and most of all, loving you no matter what. Let's worship the Lord, people, right before we leave. Let's just worship him. Whatever it is you're dealing with, going through, God's there with you. Let him be God in your life. Amen. Keith.
Purify this tainted soul. Child of living life, hopeful. Soften up his heart and cleave. servant this I pray.
The altar's open, people. Come on up if you like.
Reflection of you I long to be. So your kingdom I will see. I surrender to your throne. Oh, I surrender to your throne. I will make my heart your home. Oh, I surrender to your throne.
Forever unto you I will sing.
Forever unto you I will sing. Forever unto you I will sing. Forever unto you I will sing. Forever unto you I will sing. I surrender now. I surrender right now, Lord. Soften up this hardened clay to be a servant, this I pray.
Father, this morning we come and we worship you and we thank you so much. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion. We thank you for sending Jesus to take our place, to understand, to feel, to know everything that we feel, don't understand, and sometimes don't know. Father, this morning I pray for every person in this place. You know what they're feeling, what they're going through. And Lord, you know our futures. May we be prepared by responding to your still small voice. Oh, Father, I just pray this morning that your healing anointing will just saturate your people in this place. Father, I pray that the comfort of the Holy Spirit, no matter what we're dealing with, going through, feeling, will just comfort us. Lord, thank you for always being there for us. You're only a breath away. You're only a name away. Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Sidkenu, Yahweh Nissi. All things to us, Lord. Thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.